Pagan Coffee Talk. If you enjoy our content, please consider donating and following our socials. Now, here are your hosts, Lady Alba and Lord Knight.
What is happening to protocol?
It's going out the damn door.
Yeah.
Along with everything else. Nobody wants to do protocol anymore.
Let's talk about protocol.
All right.
All right. So.
What is protocol,
it's,
my lady?
It's not even a what is. I mean, protocol is an interesting topic. I feel like we got two things going on. One is what's happening to it, right? It's disappearing in a way that I don't like.
I don't necessarily like either.
And knowing that it takes a certain amount of discipline to practice magic, we are seeing our people fail to practice a basic form of discipline with protocol. And that's concerning.
Well, for those listening, when we're talking about protocol, we are talking about certain activities that are done.
I don't think we're revealing anything.
No. Well, like, okay. Protocol for, like, to when you first show up for ritual, the first thing you do is go greet the high priestess and skip everybody else.
Then comes the high priest.
And then any other elders.
Third degrees. Down to seconds, down to first, down to neophytes. There's an order in which things are done. There is an order in which you exit as well.
Right.
Protocol determines behavior. Protocol determines the pecking order, if you will. I don't want to say hierarchy because that's not it. But it's respect. And it is... Again, I make this comparison a lot, right? There's a military aspect to it.
Right.
There's a regimented nature to it. And it's disappearing.
Well, I mean, let's think about this on the other end, though. There's some of this protocol that we use, like you coming in a ritual. Yes, it's nice to know who's all going to be there.
Of course.
And you're not sitting there at the last minute because you've seen them all. They've all approached you. They've all said hey to you.
Right.
Because, like, part of the protocol to come in, we normally start from the highest rank down.
Right.
Alternating boy-girl as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's even how we bring God and Goddess into the circle. It mirrors a lot of protocol.
Yes.
But protocol is also, it's about how we conduct ourselves. It's about how we work as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
It is about how we represent ourselves out in the public and in the world. I mean, our elders were so protocol specific. I mean, they were, very, very important. Protocol, even the way you dressed.
Yes.
You know, everything. I remember the stories of when Lady Santana decided that all of Ravenwood out in public would wear priest collars. They wore black shirts and priest collars. And she said, if we are a priesthood, then we are going to act like it. And we are going to be recognized as such, because that was her big fight, right? It was recognition. Right. But it was protocol. You know, you didn't show up not dressed appropriately. You didn't, you know, I mean, God, there's so many things.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Lord Men wanted me to do the whole priest collar, too.
Yeah.
Especially when I was going to visit. Especially if I was going to go visit at the hospital.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was part of, I think, why she did it. I just wonder, or I feel like, okay, on one hand, a lot of pagans don't know about protocol.
No.
They don't even know that it's a thing. The traditional groups that do... I always find it funny when two traditional groups kind of meet because there's a hesitation. And the hesitation comes from the fact that both are being mindful of protocol, but the protocol might differ
slightly.
So we're trying not to cause an offense.
Step on any toes,
right.
Rub anybody the wrong way.
Exactly. So there's a proceed with caution kind of thing. It's interesting. And But yet, we're also seeing where gathers now, it's very loose and it's kind of all over the place. And then we have some elders who, you know, they don't hold titles the way some groups do. Yeah. Right.
In a way, I sort of understand it because, again, growing up, I was bad about the yes'm. You with me growing up instead of yes, ma'am? I mean, trust me, I'm surprised I still don't have a knot in the back of my head for as many times grandma smacked me. You do not say yes'm.
Wow.
That gets you smacked in the back of the head real fast. But there's my question is it this mentality that keeps on being into the younger over and over again? And it keeps on getting worse.
I mean, part of the reason it's getting worse is what we're seeing with parenting. The reason it's getting worse is because kids have no discipline.
No.
They are allowed to do whatever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want. And there's very, very little policing, if you will.
I do not hear the phrase like I used to growing up all the time. And what do we say?
Yeah.
Oh, because if a kid did not think or correctly...
Absolutely. The pleases, the thank yous, the appreciation, the curbing of, you know, whining or certain, you know, things. I mean, there's parents now, right? Everybody's gone super liberal in the sense of, well, I don't want my kids to have to grow up with this or that or this. Well, I'm not talking about like beating your children.
No.
That's not it.
No, we're talking about simple things like men. In polite society, should always walk on the traffic side and let the woman walk on the inside so she don't get dirty.
Right. But these are, in a lot of cases, these are outdated thoughts. And I mean, it's like, are we just old-fashioned now? Are we that out of touch? Or is this really something that's lacking?
Because in my mind, and I'm going to say this, in my mind, I cannot see me and you going to a coffee shop or something and me not getting out and escorting you in. To me, it's my job. You're my high priestess. I should be. To me, it's my sign, me showing you respect for your position.
Right. And of course, if there's an elder, you're on one side and I'm on the other. And now that's the, you know, the focal point. But I do think, again, it boils down to discipline and cheap teaching. And the problem is, how do you take someone who for potentially 18 years of their life had little to no discipline and then suddenly go, here are all the rules you need to follow?
Right.
They're like, fuck this.
Fuck
this. They don't want to do it.
Well, we see it as very effortless to do because we've done it our whole lives.
Exactly. We see it as it's just polite. It's just what's expected. We see it as a societal norm. And some people, you know, yes, I think our age range and older, they just take to it. They just go, yeah, this makes perfect sense. This is the way I treated my grandparents. This is the way I was raised. But no, we're not seeing a lot of that anymore. You know, like kids, and these are observations from, you know, me being with friends and, you know, people who have younger children, like respect for other people's property. Right. That is no longer a major priority for parents to teach their kids. I don't know why. I don't know why that has become lax, but yeah. And as a result, it's again, how do you instill that later?
I mean, did you miss the opportunity?
Yeah.
You know, I'm almost like kids and cuss words. I mean, yes, it's funny when your 3-year old goes around saying cuss words and stuff like that, but.
Yeah, what happens when they get older?
What happens when they're sitting there cussing like a sailor in front of your pastor?
Right.
Trying to convince him to marry you, and he can't stop because you did not teach him how to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it makes me wonder, you know, again, are we on the brink of like a major breakdown in the traditional craft world?
We could.
Yeah, because either... I can see it. I can see where either protocol is slowly but surely going to be abolished until it no longer exists anywhere, which is wild to me.
Or we get the knee-jerk reaction where we have protocol gone wild.
Yeah.
And everybody's so strict you can't fart without...
Right.
Which, again, is not a balanced thing for me.
No, it's not a balance. That's not balanced for anybody. And, I mean, even though there are elements of protocol that are tough.
Yeah.
It's not...
Well, sometimes, and just to let people know, sometimes it's tougher on the other side of this because you don't think you should be called that. You don't think...
Well, the problem that also goes along with it is the protocol exists within the different degrees to denote a level of knowledge and a level of understanding and what someone should or should not be exposed to yet based on where they are in their journey. If we start to remove protocol, then how the hell do we know?
Well, again, if we remove protocol, we have this problem. When do I become the elder? When do I step into that? Because again, if we sit there and we keep on doing it the way we are now,
yeah,
you never become your father because you're never stepping into that role.
Mm.
You're never behaving in that manner.
Mm.
You're rejecting it.
Right. I don't know. It's also something to be said for, again, stereotypes. Negative connotations. There are for as mainstream as witchcraft is now, there are still plenty of people who see us as savage heathens, and the thought being that we're just out there, you know, running amok. Well, protocol disrupts those ideas completely and says, no, actually, we have a very orderly system here.
Yeah. We are civilized and orderly, mm-hmm. and we do know how to interact with the world appropriately.
Well, protocol also does tend to curb some unwanted behavior, right? When you're being held to a certain standard, yeah, you're less likely to make jokes. You're less likely to offend somebody else. You're less likely
to go off the handle in the middle of Walmart off somebody who really don't.
Yeah, yeah. You're less likely to do a lot of things because you're minding yourself and you're aware.
Right.
Yeah. Protocol keeps you in check. I don't know. I worry about it, though.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Because I see it... I see it as more as a disrespect to myself to not follow
report. Of course. I mean, we see it within our group. It's very common to have neophytes and even firsts forget their protocol or just not be paying attention to it. But at the same time, for us, yes, it's a slight.
Right.
But also, I don't want to run around spending my time being the protocol police.
No.
And, you know, having to point out to everyone where their protocol is off. Because that doesn't set a great environment either.
Well, it makes it even harder to follow the protocols because you feel more it's like being forced upon you than something you doing out of choice.
That's a really good point. Yeah, we used to take protocol up as it was a pride.
Right.
Yeah. It's a sense of pride to say, I do this, I follow this, yes. I respect this enough to make these conscious decisions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And again, like I said, we still have that whole entire not necessarily want to be our fathers, not having to be that... I'm sorry, I never wanted to be as stuck up as what I thought Lord Men was sometimes.
Yeah.
But I also see the advantages of what he was doing.
Sure. I mean, I knew, some of the high priestesses that I've known them as much, much older women, right, who are physically a lot less capable. But you are still like, I mean, not eggshells. I don't want to say that because that's too much. But you're definitely aware of the fact that you should think before you speak around them.
Right. There's a difference. There is a certain feeling and way you feel when you're sitting there and you're talking to a Lady Maya. Lady Santana. I don't know how to explain that. There's something, even with you, there is something in me that I must show this respect to you.
Well, that is part of initiation. It's part of the preservation of craft, the continuation of craft. Because you're right. We don't have arguments. We don't have disagreements. We don't have... And it's not to say we don't get on each other's nerves. You know, it's not to say we don't have moments, but protocol is what keeps us from getting angry or saying something out of pocket or, you know, just overstepping a boundary.
Right.
You know, protocol is the thing that makes you go, yeah, I'm annoyed with you right now, but I think I'm going to sit on this before I say anything and decide if it's really worth it.
And protocol keeps you from ruining a good relationship over something stupid.
Yeah. Well, it also goes back to what I feel like is the first thing we tell our neophytes. We are not friends.
No.
We're not. We're not friends. And that structure with protocol in place, yes, it changes everything about how we, as a group and as members of this faith, interact.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is the civilization or the civilizing of humanity. Being polite to one another.
Yeah. Well, being respectful.
Being respectful.
Above all else, right? Even if I disagree with you or I don't like something you've said or you've done, I can still show you respect.
Right.
For the fact that we have earned the same right.
Well, just because we disagree doesn't mean we have to hate each other.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
All right. I mean, there's a tons of stuff me and you disagree on. Religiously, blah, blah, blah. But...
yeah, but there's... the odds of us ever having a situation where we have stopped talking or we are not any, slim to none.
Right.
Because of these bonds. And protocol, I think, yeah, it has, it's a part of that. It really does work as a unit. But I don't know. I don't know. It's something that, you know, we got to see what happens. The next decade or so might be really
interesting.
Telling. Yeah.
Well, they always say, I hope you live in interesting times.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah, most priests and priestesses go, no, I'd rather not. Can I live in something quiet, peaceful?
Oh,
can I just be, you know, slide into oblivion all by myself?
Oh, my goodness. I'll join you. We'll go together.
But we require coffee together.
We do. We'll bring the coffee. The word warlock,
yes,
to you,
yes,
is an insult.
God, yes.
Okay. And it is kind of a worst case scenario.
Oh, it,
right?
It's the worstest thing you can be called.
But yet, right, the term is used all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And there's still a pretty widespread belief that a warlock is a male witch.
Right.
I don't know where the hell that came from.
Don't get me started.
Very confused on that one. I feel like that's a Dungeons and Dragons thing.
Thing.
Yeah. That it came out of that or like one of the...
I believe it or not, I think it's a bewitched thing.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because they wanted
been.
All the women to be called witches and
men
they wanted
to
be called warlocks.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's definitely more pop culture...
thing.
Yeah, because there's no reference to it that I know of anywhere.
There's no reference to the moral itself besides just keep your word.
No, yeah, but I mean like inside of books and literature and some of the old texts, there's no reference to warlock being used as a common term.
No.
So, as you know it, what is a warlock? What does it mean?
Someone who's broken their word.
So it's an oath breaker.
It's an oath breaker.
And the term, as far as we know, the word warlock means that you are denied the right to engage in warfare.
Exactly.
And the reason for this is because you done fucked up.
Right.
Yeah. And back in the day, when we talk about the Celts, when we talk about the Vikings, the warring tribes, right?
Yes, the warrior civilizations.
Yes. That was the worst thing you could do.
Yes.
Bench somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. You did bad, so now you get a timeout and you don't get to fight.
Right.
And it was a big, yeah, they were just probably whiny little bitches about it. Because, I mean, yeah,
yeah,
that was a big deal. So it was an ultimate form of punishment. Now it is. Well, there's a couple things that happen. First of all, being warlocked is a big freaking deal. Like, you had to do something so grievous that your church, your group, your tradition has deemed...
You are excommunicated.
Yeah, you're an outcast.
You're an outcast.
You've been stripped of your title.
Mm-hmm.
You've been stripped of your degrees. Your Book of Shadows has been confiscated. Do we take your Atham?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I don't think warlocks are given death rites.
Ooh, wow.
That's so, yeah, where the sticker comes in.
So you are stripped of all your princess points. And, man, I mean, so it's severe.
But there is an actual curse that we don't have to, nobody has to do. It's done to yourself.
Yes.
In all this process.
Well, what happens is, so by being, so first of all, to even be considered for the term, the word, right, for it to be enacted, it takes multiple elders, third degrees. It's a council. You're not, right, one person cannot make this decision. You
right.
or I could not be like, you, we're, you know, yeah, I don't like your shirt today. You're out of here.
Right.
Yeah, no. We can't. It is a big deal. And usually it's 13 elders, if I'm not mistaken. It's 13 third degrees or 13 elders that are utilized.
Right. You're bringing different traditions together to accomplish this. So,
and they're taking a vote.
Right.
And the reason for 13, you can't have a tie.
Nope.
Yep. Now, the way I remember it as
this
well...
This is also where the word term blackballed
came in. Yes.
Because we would vote either with a white marble or a black marble.
Yes. And so, if you were blackballed, that was it. That was the punishment that was doled out. So, it's a big, big thing. The curse of the warlock comes from the fact that your magic collapses.
Yes.
It is.
It
useless.
Unravels.
Yeah.
Because you can no longer. The thought is because you cannot speak truth, you cannot speak reality.
Mm.
All your spells start to fall apart.
Mm.
Because you can't speak truth or reality. So.
Mm. Wow.
Again, here's a big problem. But this also means one other thing, that all those promises you made to all the gods and stuff like that.
Yeah, your rights at first, you have negated them.
Right.
Or worse, as the degrees go up the ladder. Yeah, you're an oathbreaker. I have seen some people do some messed up shit. Pagans are not, mm-hmm. we are not excluded from bad decision making.
Nope.
I've seen some crazy, crazy crap, but I have never seen anyone be blackballed.
No.
Or, like, I mean, that's how severe this is.
I've only known of one person,
but
and that's it.
We're talking about an offense so heinous that it probably also breaks the law of the land.
Yes.
Yeah. But what's interesting is, can someone self-impose this punishment? You get what I'm saying?
Well, psychologically, in the back of your mind, if you're called this and it's pointed out what in the world you've done, yes, psychologically, in the back of your head, you could be self-sabotaging yourself from the beginning. Even though you might be going around trying to show a wonderful...
Yeah, that's an interesting thing because...
But again, me being as religious as I am, losing the favor of the gods because I made a lie, because I couldn't keep my word, that's a more of an offense. You with me?
I am, but could someone in theory be so guilt-riddled by an action, a deed,
Oh, yes.
That, yeah, that they effectively turn their own magic against themselves because they just can't let it go.
I think that's what actually causes the curse to begin with.
Interesting.
I think this is always, it always turns out to be a self-inflicted thing.
Well, sure. One way or another.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did it to yourself.
You did it to yourself.
By the actions you took. I mean, it's by your deeds you shall be known. And that is really the ultimate at the end of that line of if you have been warlocked, I mean, that is literally how you're going to be known forever.
It
sucks.
To repair those relationships, they take so long and so much time, and they're going to take twice as long now. Because, again, now you're going to go around and you're going to have to spend your whole entire time proving you're not this.
Yeah.
You're going to have to overdo. You're going to have to make sure you're there on time.
Yep.
Life just became, you've just made life twice as hard for yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as a spiritual leader, I don't think I need to sit there and go, ooh, warlock. You are what you are, and I can move on with my life. It's been done. And I don't need to dwell there.
Do you think that there's a spiritual scorecard that elders keep, though?
No, I don't think so overall.
Okay. I don't either. I was just curious because you've seen more interaction than I have with certain things.
Well, I mean, are you going to sit there and try to tell me it's not hard to sit there in your head? Well, I remember that this particular person did this, and this.
Yes.
But when you're sitting there and you're doing that judgment, you have to be there in that time. Everything that happened in the past is not
relevant
at the time.
Yeah, you're right.
Again, hence the reason we have 13 people there to remind us what in the world we're doing and why we're there.
Yeah.
We're not doing this just because, well, it's a Thursday.
We got bored.
Or somebody decided to wear a skirt today. Yeah. It's not...
Right. There were no reruns of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so we had to do something. But yes, so just be cautious, right? I think that that's the real message here for people. If you're around a traditional group, if you are, interacting... Please don't make that mistake. Calling somebody a warlock, even if you don't mean any harm with it, it could be taken very, very poorly.
Oh, yeah.
It's about educating yourself, you know? That's the thing that I think is critical.
I mean, because when you think of our students and some of our members, what kind of reaction would they get if somebody called one of us that in the middle of something?
Yeah, no, that would be bad.
Yeah.
Everyone would immediately go on the defensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though the person didn't mean that, we might be sitting there going, no.
Absolutely. And I think, and again, it comes down to when you're interacting with other organizations, if you have multiple groups getting together for a gather, you don't know. You don't know someone's experience and what, you know, their elders have taught them and what kind of history they have. I mean, it really could start something you didn't mean to.
Well, I mean, again, it's like going to work and working around women. Some women don't mind certain language.
Yeah.
Other women get really, I've worked in that, you know, where... There are certain women. Yeah, I could cuss like a sailor and fun, and they wouldn't say anything. But if it was the secretary or somebody else, she might.
Yeah. But I think it's all the way around now. I mean, like it's a podcast, so I can pretty much say whatever. But I have gay friends who are absolutely 100% fine with the word faggot. They have no issue. Couldn't care less. Fag this, fag that. It doesn't matter. And there's some, oh my God, right? That is the worst offense that you can commit. It's disparaging. And I mean, it's like, oh, okay. So it's just knowing where people stand on the issue, I think. Speaking of which, I'm getting a phone call from one of my fags right now. love him dearly. I'll have to call him back. He's perfectly fine with the word. Doesn't care. But yeah. So listen, y'all. I'm right. So as old as I am, and as long as I have been around, I am a fag hag from way back when.
Yes, she is.
I usually have a small collection of gay men.
There was a running joke. We moved out of town. She said I was going to call the gay hotline.
Yes.
I need a fag now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I need some homosexual in my life.
Yeah. I was way ahead of Lady Gaga on all that. So, anyway. Okay. So, anything else on the warlock topic?
I don't think that's it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Let's get more coffee.
All right.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week for another episode. Pagan Coffee Talk is brought to you by Life Temple and Seminary. Please visit us at lifetempleseminary.org for more information, as well as links to our social media. Facebook, Discord, Twitter, YouTube, and Reddit.
We travel down this trodden path, a maze of stone and mire. Just hold my hand as we pass by a sea of blazing pyres. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks.